Good morning, everyone. Today's daf and beitzah is daf lamed ches, ran lamed zayin. We just finished the Mishnah on the bottom of lamed zayin and aleph. We'll start from that point in time. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned with Zech Nishmas, Lois Lupin Zaltzman. And the topic of today will be one simple topic for today, and that's tchumim, the issur of tchum on yantif. As we know, there's an issur of tchum on Shabbos. One cannot go beyond 2,000 amas outside of his makom shvisa. His makom shvisa can either be where he's situated, or if he's within a city, the 2,000 amas begin at the edge of the city, right after the city ends, and then he can't walk beyond 2,000 amas. It's not a carrying halacha; it's a tchum. It's a boundary halacha. You simply cannot walk beyond 2,000 amas of your makom shvisa. That's true on Shabbos, and it's also true on Yantav as well. On Yantav, you can't walk 2,000 amas beyond your makom shvisa. The on Yantav, it gets a little bit more interesting and a little bit more exciting, because on Yantav, so there is a lot of there's a lot more going on in Yantav. Shabbos is not a lot going on. You can't cook on Shabbos. You can't the only thing you could do on Shabbos is you can go hear shir by your Rebbe, which that's not the only thing you could do on Shabbos. But I say that because I know that's one of the examples that we're going to be discussing later on when it comes to Shabbos. But on Yantav, so you can cook. So you're going to go places. In other words, you're going to go out to the shepherd because you want a brand new animal in order to shecht it. So there's a lot of things you're going to be doing on Yantav, and so there's a lot of tchum consideration. Why is there a lot of tchum consideration? Because as we learned in the Mishnah yesterday, any item that you own is going to be bound by your tchum. So an animal that I own is bound by my tchum. The flour that I have in my pantry is bound by my tchum. If somebody were to come over to my house and say, "Hey, can I borrow a cup of sugar?" No problem at all. But that sugar that he's borrowing on Yantav was my sugar going into Yantav. The Bein Hashmashos sphere during Yantav is going to be the establishment of the tchum of that sugar. That sugar is bound by exactly where I'm bound by. So when he takes that sugar out of my house, he can't take that sugar any further than I can go. In other words, he is bound, holding my sugar. My sugar is bound, I should say, bound by me. So that's another consideration on Yantav, the tchum consideration on Yantav. Now, tchumim is the Rabbanan, so I'll say it flatly, even though I know it gets a little bit more complicated, but tchumim is the Rabbanan, it's a din de Rabbanan, tchum Shabbos and tchum Yantav. Okay, but still, you can't go beyond 2,000 amas, and that's not just true for you, it's true for your kalim as well. Okay, that is basically what we learned yesterday. That was the Mishnah's point. For the rest of today, we're going to be discussing Tchum. It's going to be one simple topic for today, although a simple topic, but as you'll see, some of the offshoots of this topic will not be that simple. Okay. It doesn't matter. My kalim are somewhere else. It's as long as I'm the owner of those kalim, bound by my Tchum. Okay, good. Masnisan delo kerebi dosa. Okay, it's a funny place to start, but we're starting right from the Gemara. Okay, the Mishnah's point was very simple, and that is that your animals, your kalim, are bound by your tchum. Wherever you are, wherever you can go, your kalim can go. Wherever you can't go, your kalim can't go. And then the Mishnah went on to make another point, which is hamosa behem tolav no. Let's say I hand over my animal to my son or to a shepherd. Harehu karagli abalam. Still, it's me. In other words, it follows me. So Masisan Delok Rabbi Dosa, so the Gemara points out. We're now on the very top of Lama Zayin Amud Beis. Our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Dosa Ditanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Rabbi Dosa Omer Vamila Abishol Omer. Now it's either Rabbi Dosa or it's Abishol, but we have a Tana who says the following. Halokech Behema Mechaver Me Erev Yom Tov. If I take an animal from my friend on Erev Yom Tov, Afa Pishlo Masolo Elabi Yom Tov, even though the Mesira, the act of Kinyan, occurs only on Yantav itself, Hare Karagle Lokeach. But nevertheless, it's going to follow literally the legs of the Lokeach. Legs just simply means the Tchum. Wherever the Lokeach can go, that's where the animal can go. V'hamoser behemel ra'af apishlo masolo ela biyom tov. And if I hand an animal over to my shepherd, even though I give it to him only on Yantav itself, Hare Karagle Aroeh, nevertheless, it can go wherever the shepherd can go. Okay, so we seem to be at an impasse between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah says they want to hand something over on Yantav itself. So again, we've now crossed the Bein Hashmashos period of time, which now means that everything is locked into its tchum position. So our Mishnah says that if I hand it to him on Yantav, so the animal is bound by me, by the owner, by the original owner during the Bein Hashmashos period. And meanwhile, When it comes to the Braisa that we just learned, the Braisa says, no, it goes by the shepherd who received it on Yontif. So the Gemara says, okay. So it could be that our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Dosa. Now the conclusion could have simply be fine, but the Gemara would like to try to synthesize the Braisa and the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no, you know what? We could say that our Mishnah and the Braisa and Rabbi Dosa are in agreement with one another. And we're going to make a distinction between one shepherd versus two shepherds. What's the difference between one shepherd versus two shepherds? Take a look at that first Rashi on the Amud. Rashi writes, She'ein be'ir ela roa echad. There is only one shepherd in the city. And he is the town shepherd. And that means then going into Yontif, everybody knows, who am I entrusting my animal with? My animal needs to go out to graze. On Yontif, who am I entrusting him with? I'm entrusting him with that one shepherd. And therefore, Rashi continues to write, that means going into Yontif, what's my mindset? I didn't hand it to the shepherd yet, but I'm going to hand it to the shepherd. And there's only one shepherd. There are no choices to make. So therefore going, and I don't want the animal bound by my tchum, meaning the whole point of the shepherd is, he's going to take it out to pasture. His tchum and my tchum may not be identical with one another. I'd much prefer the animal being under his tchum and not my tchum. So that's the Braisa, that's Rabbi Dosa. And even though the handing over of it does not occur until Yontif itself, it doesn't matter. Going into Yontif with the knowledge that that's the one who I'm going to hand it over to, that's the tchum it's going to follow. The Mishnah, on the other hand, Rashi continues, our Mishnah is talking about where there's more than one shepherd. Let's say two. Could be more than two. But let's say it's two shepherds. Now, if they're two shepherds, so now I don't know which one's going to go to. So my giving it over on Yontif is now a much more significant act. Because now I'm making a decision. Hey, you know what? This Yontif, I feel like that shepherd's going to do a better job. I'm making the decision now on Yontif. So that means that I didn't have that in mind going into Yontif. And we can also add to that that we don't subscribe to the idea of Breira, which we're going to discuss at length today. So the Gemara says, so therefore, Rashi, I'm sorry, just finishing up Rashi, Hilkach, Harein Karagli Habalim, Im Enam Eitzel Haromi Ba'od Yom. Unless I hand it to the roe before Yontif begins, it is considered my animal. Because there was a choice to make going into Yontif, I cannot say that it belongs to the shepherd going into Yontif, and therefore, it follows my tchum, not the shepherd's tchum. Okay, Adkan. That feels so. That's the Gemara's resolution. The Gemara says, "Dekanami diktani," and the Gemara says, "You can make a diuk in the Mishnah, and that the Mishnah is talking about two shepherds, because the Mishnah says, Livno o Livroa.' It says you give it to your son or to a shepherd, meaning it wasn't a one specific shepherd. It was two Shmamina. The Gemara says, okay. Our Mishnah is talking about where there were two shepherds. So the Gemara now quotes the name Rav Yochanan, that the halacha is like Rabbi Dosa. Me amar Rav Yochanan achi, v'hamar Rav Yochanan halacha kestam Mishnah, v'tanan abeima v'keilim karagli abalim. So the Gemara says, now that seems to be problematic because Rav Yochanan always goes like the stam Mishnah, and our stam Mishnah doesn't seem to be going like Rabbi Dosa. So the Gemara says, v'lavu kimna kambro acha kamishnei roon. The Gemara says, yeah, but did you just forget? In other words, we synthesize. We said that Rabbi Dosa is not going against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about where there are two shepherds, and when there are two shepherds, it's karagle haba'alim, but where there's only one shepherd, it's karagle ha'roa, even though you don't make the transfer until Yontif itself. So Rav Yochanan can paskin like Rabbi Dosa, Rav Yochanan can be holding like our Mishnah, all is good. Tana Rabbanan. Shnaim sheshalu chaluk echad v'shutfus. Zele erech bo shachar v'sabeis ha'mishnah, v'zele kanes bo ar v'sabeis ha'mishnah. Okay, Yontif, and we live in a time of plenty, so it's a little bit hard for us to imagine, but one garment shared by two people, and both of them going into Yontif would like to make use of it, and they have the following agreement. There's a partnership between these two people. Look, you'll take it. You want to go to the Beis Medrash wearing this suit? Great. And then what I'll do is I'll take the suit afterwards, and I'll go to the Beis Mishta. Okay, some sort of affair, some sort of party. Okay, and so basically they look to split, not physically, but in terms of time, they look to split a garment over the course of one Yontif. So what's the halacha? Ze erev alav l'tzafen v'ze erev alav l'daron. So and obviously in the context of tchumim, so we're going to make this case much more interesting, and that is that the tchum of these two partners are not the same tchum. In fact, one made his makom shvisa to the north, the other one made it to the south. So zesher v'alav l'tzafen malach l'tzafen karagle mishar v'alav l'darim v'zesher v'alav l'darim malach l'darim karagle mishar v'alav l'tzafen v'imatzu osat tchum harei zelo yizazenemim kama. So now they're going to affect one another. And in the classic Venn diagram, you know how it is where there's overlap? So basically what the Braisa says is that they can only carry this garment only within the point of overlap. Meaning that the one who made his Makom Shvisa to the north, he has to now take into consideration, I can't wear the suit any further than my southern partner can go. And the person in the south has to have the same consideration. I can't go any further south than my northern partner could go. And it can get so absurd, and obviously I mean that respectfully, but it can get so absurd that the Braisa ends off by saying, let's say that the person to the north made his Makom Shvisa 2,000 amas to the north. And the person to the south made his Makom Shvisa 2,000 amas to the south. So there's only one point of agreement. It's not even an overlap. It's just a point of agreement between the person on the north and the person on the south, where basically they could shake hands at that Mason-Dixon line, right? It's not even an overlap. It's just a point of meeting. So basically, that's the only place the suit can be vis-a-vis north and south. Okay, fine. In other words, again, once you have a partnership, so then the item can only go where the two partners can, the overlapping area where the two partners can go. Itmar. Now the discussion gets even more interesting. Shnaim shalachu chavitzu behema b'shutfas. Let's say you have two partners, and now we discussed a garment. Now a garment is an easy discussion, because a garment is indivisible. In other words, clearly I have a suit. I have a partner who owns a suit together with me. So what are we talking about? You can't tear the suit into two pieces. So there's nothing to talk about. The suit can only be carried only in the overlapping area of the two partners. That's clear. Now it gets interesting. You have two partners, shelachu chavis ubehema b'shutfas, where now they have a barrel of wine and they have an animal that they have in a partnership. So Rav amar chavis muteres ubehema asura. So Rav takes the following position. The barrel of wine, mutter. What does that mean, mutter? Mutter means that I'll take half the barrel of wine, my partner will take half the barrel of wine, the half that I can take, that I take, I can go wherever I want to go, meaning wherever I can go within my tchum. And my partner takes the other half of the barrel of the wine, and he can go wherever his tchum allows him to go. And over here, in the case of wine, I am not bound by my partner's tchum. He is not bound by my tchum. Why? Because I'll simply say that the 50% that I took was mine. The 50% that he took was his. Now, even if this is a chiddush, even if we only took our shares on Yontif itself, it does not matter. That's the position of Rav. However, when it comes to an animal, so the animal, he says, no. The animal is aser. What does that mean, aser? It means that the animal, even though we're going to shech the animal on Yontif, and we're going to divide the animal on Yontif, but still, my piece of animal that I received on Yontif, I can't go beyond my partner's tchum. And the obvious question, which we're going to deal with, is what's the difference between wine and meat? Why by wine do we say, go where you want to go? And by meat, we don't say that. That's the obvious question, which the Gemara is going to respond to in just a moment. Shmuel amar chavis nami asura. Shmuel's position is the barrel is going to be prohibited as well. Shmuel's position is more machmir, but easier to understand. Much easier to understand. Because Shmuel has a consistent viewpoint, which is, I don't subscribe to Breira. By the way, keep that sentence in mind for later on this morning. Shmuel does not subscribe to Breira. Okay, good. In other words, that's the explanation of Shmuel. Put that away, because we're gonna come back to that sentence later on today when we get to Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. But in the meantime, however, Shmuel's position is clear. Look, we didn't do the division before Yontif. We did the division on Yontif. Okay? If we don't subscribe to Breira, I know I'm entitled to half of it, but the half that I take was not mine retroactive to the Banos Mashos period. And therefore, that 50% that I took is still going to be bound by the tchum of my partner.
Would Shmuel say
it's Muxa? No. Well, actually, it's a good point you're making, but no, it's not. It's an excellent point you're making, which I'll come back to in just a moment. I'm not going to come back to it. The Gemara is going to mention, but let's say no. Okay, so that's... So Shmuel's position is that it isn't subscribed to Breira. So the meat is bound by both Tchomim, and the wine is bound by both Tchomim. That's easy. Rav's position is more difficult, and the Gemara now questions. So the Gemara now wants to know, we're in the second wide line, Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara now wants to know, what is Rav thinking? Is Rav subscribed to Breira? So if he does, I feel a behema tishtare. So he should allow the animal. The ikasavra ain breira, and if he doesn't subscribe to breira, afilo chavis nami asura. So then the wine should be prohibited. Okay, so Rav is at a standstill. We're at a standstill understanding Rav, I should say. La olam kasavra yesh breira. So the Gemara suggests the following. Rav does subscribe to the concept of breira. And so by the case of the wine, that's good. Meaning I'll take 50% and I'm taking it on Yontav. And that means that the 50% I take on Yontav retroactively goes back to the Bein HaShemeshes period. And that means then that the 50% of wine that I took is under my tchum. Good. What about the animal? Here's where it gets now really interesting. Vishanya behema, an animal's different. Because the pieces of animals nourish from one another. Meaning, let's go back to Bein HaShemeshes. Bein HaShemeshes, the animal was alive and well. Okay, I own 50% of that animal. Now, the 50% of the animal that I own going to the Bein HaShemeshes period can't exist right now without my partner's 50%. In other words, that's just simply the nature of an organic entity. My 50% does not exist in a vacuum. It needs his 50%. Blood circulating, right, nutrients going from one part of the animal to the other. So in other words, I have to take into consideration that yes, even if we subscribe to Breira, yes, the piece I took on Yontif, my 50% is true, it's my 50%, but it's nourished, it's supplemented by my partner's 50%. And that's why even if we subscribe to Breira, we can't ignore the fact that my 50% is saturated with nutrition from his 50% going into Yontif. And that's why I can't go beyond my partner's tchum going into Yontif.
Who has the front, who has the back?
In this regard, doesn't matter. Okay. Doesn't matter. So the Gemara says, tchumim mi'adadi. So amalei rav kahana rav asil rav isa moksa lo chashul isa tchumim chashashu. So the Gemara says, wow, that's interesting. And now, Ben, this is where the Gemara gets to your point. In other words, somehow, this idea of 50% nourishing from one another. It didn't bother you from a muksa standpoint, and now it's bothering you from a tchum standpoint. Now, what does that mean, it didn't bother you from a muksa standpoint? So Rashi over here gives a really interesting explanation of the Gemara, one which is subject to debate and controversy. But Rashi says, you know what the Gemara means when the Gemara says it's a muksa, and we're not worried about muksa? So Rashi says like this, because when we're partners, and I get 50%, you get 50%, do you know what your 50% is to me? Moksa. This is how Rashi understands the Gemara. Well, really? Rashi says, yeah, sure. Because when you're partners, you know that you are 50% owner, but you also know that 50% of it is not owned by you. And the way Rashi understands the Gemara is that 50% that's not owned by you, for you, is considered moksa. Because going into Yontif, you now know, I know half is mine, and I also know half is not mine. And so for some reason, and again, let's go back to that point that we made just a moment ago. Now going into Yontif, while the animal was alive, my half of the animal was getting nourished by muksa, by his 50%, which is muksa. And meanwhile, that didn't bother you. The muksa issue didn't bother you. And now tchum is going to bother you. And as we said in the beginning of this morning's shiur, muksa is an issur derabbanan, but so is tchum. Tchum also is an issur derabbanan. That is how Rashi understands the Gemara's point over here, is that there's that the 50% that's not owned by me is muksa to me. Tosos really struggles with this pshat of Rashi. Tosos right here, second Tosos on the Amud. He says, food I don't own, that's muksa? Right, Tosfos says, didn't we learn earlier in the Masechta, someone can come over to my house on Yontif and gift me food, and that's not moksa. So over here, Rashi saying that the 50% I don't own is muktzah. It's really difficult. And in fact, Tosfos gives a different pshat in the Gemara, and see Tosfos for the different pshat in the Gemara. But anyway, okay.
But the thing is that the division establishes ownership after the Yom Tov starts. They realize who is getting which part. So
right, but if you subscribe,
going into Ben Hashmosho, either half could have been.
Correct. That's the magic of Breira. The magic of Breira now says that even though I made the decision on Yom Tov, but it takes me back to Bein HaShmashos. And Hovra Hadavar LaMafreya, now the decision goes back retroactively. The decision only is demonstrated now, but the decision goes back retroactive to the Bein HaShmashos. That's the whole idea behind Breira. And so that means now that during
By choosing Breira, you're establishing Moksa then?
No, you're not establishing moksha. In other words,
you're saying that it going into.
No, in other words,
it belonged to him and not to this guy.
Correct, but then the Gemara is bothered by the fact. In other words, the Gemara says that the whole difference of an animal is that my portion got nourished by his portion. In other words, the nutrients of his portion are saturated in my portion. So the Gemara says, and that's why an animal is different. That's why Rav does not allow you to take your 50% and go wherever you want within your tchum. Because you have to take into consideration that your 50% has got pieces of his 50% in it. That's the Gemara's explanation. To which the Gemara says, okay, that's a tchum concern. What about the muksa concern? So the Gemara says, you're not worried about muksa, and the point is such a strong point, shasik Rav. So Rav was silent. Now, at this point in time, you can only conjecture. Was Rav silent because the point was outstanding? Was Rav silent because he just simply didn't even regard the point? I don't know. But anyway, okay, so that is... So right now we are in the following discussion. I now take... I have wine and I have an animal. And I'm partnered with another person. And we make the division on Yontif itself. So Shmuel, who doesn't subscribe to Breira... So his position is very simple. You'll take your 50%, but you're bound by your partner's tchum. That's Shmuel's position, good. Rav makes a split between wine versus an animal. By wine he subscribes to Breira, by an animal he doesn't. And it's not that he doesn't subscribe to Breira, he does subscribe to Breira, but by an animal, my 50% is nourished going into Yontif by his 50%. And the Gemara asks a question on that, and we move on. My Havi Allah. The Gemara says, do we... or do we not subscribe to Breira? And now here we go, now a full-blown discussion of Breira again. Breira is one of those popular topics that come up in Shas again and again. So here we get to discuss, and if some of this is going to sound familiar, that's good, because a lot of this discussion we're about to have is the discussion that we had not only throughout Shas, but even in our own Masechta, back on Daf Yud. Same exact discussion that we're having right now. Coming up again. So the Gemara now brings it down to a machlokus amongst the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Oshia subscribes to Breira. Rav Yochanan does not subscribe to Breira. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, is that true? By Rabbi Oshia, he subscribes to Breira, Vatanan. So the Gemara says, let's learn a Mishnah and Olos together. There's a there's a corpse in the house, human remains, and there are a number of exits to the house. Kulan Temeim. They're all the areas under the exits are going to be subject to Tumah. The area under the roof of the house is going to be subject to Tumah, meaning Oa, Tumas Oa. But even the exits, the area under the lentil, also going to be Tumah. Niftach Echan Mehem Utameh V'Kulan Taharin. If I open up one of the doors... That now is a demonstrative act that door is the one that we're exiting. That doorway, the area under that doorway is going to be Tameh. The area under any of the other doorways where the doors are still closed are going to be Tahor. Chishev lo'tzio be'echad mehem, if I have a machshava, an intent, which let's say just for the sake of simplicity, that we verbalized. If I have an intent to go out of one of the doors, so, bechalon sheish barbal arba'a, or a window that has a minimum of 4x4 tvachim, matzelas ala psachim kulan. It's going to save all the other exits. Beishamay omrim hu vehushachishev alav ad shalo yamos ameis. Now, Beishamay says the machshov is only going to be significant if you think about it before the death of the person. So in other words, while the person is still in the throes of death, but not yet dead, so the person has to have that machshava. Beisil omrim af mishiyamos ameis. And Beisil says that the machshava works even after the person dies. V'itmar Allah. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Good. We saw this Mishnah just a short month ago. Good. Now the Idmarla Na'an, this Mishnah Amma Rabbi Yoshia Letaris Apsachim Ekanu Lahaba. Even when Beis Hillel says that the machshava, post-mortem machshava, is going to be effective, it's only effective going forward. The machshava does not work retroactively. So it only works going forward, it does not work retroactively. That is the point of Rabbi Oshia. So what do you see? After learning the Mishnah, learning the comment of Rav Oshia on the Mishnah, it's pretty clear, Rav Oshia does not subscribe to Breira. So the Gemara says, okay, your point is excellent. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to flip. We're going to now assert that Rav Oshia does not subscribe to Breira, as evident by his comment on the Mishnah Noelos. And then we're going to have Rav Yochanan holding by Breira. Gemara says, that doesn't work. Omi islay l'Rav Yochanan Breira, but I'm going to prove to you that Rav Yochanan does not hold the Breira. V'amar Rav Asi, I'm Rav Yochanan. The Gemara quotes Rav Asi, in the name of Rav Yochanan, ha'achim shechalku, brothers who divide an estate. So it's a very simple scenario. Dad died, leaves an estate for the kids, the brothers divide the estate. Okay? It's pretty straightforward. And what's the halacha? When Yovel comes around, so they return the estate to one another and they redivide. What's happening? Meaning, when do you have to return an item in the Yovel year to its original owner? When you're not the original owner. What are you? You're a purchaser. So when you're a purchaser, so in the Yovel year, everything returns back to its original owner. Okay, this week's parsha. Good. So the So the Gemara said, huh?
You're inheriting here,
okay, good. So with the so Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that there, when there's one more than one heir, so you're not inheriting, you're buying. You are lekuchos. The way that the division of estate is viewed by Rav Yochanan is not as an inheritance, but rather as a bartering. Meaning there is this estate, right? There's this corporate entity known as the estate, and what we're now doing is we're buying and selling. You want that piece of land? Okay, I'll tell you what. Yeah, I'll give you this if you give me that. And here we are bartering with one another and exchanging with one another. So the way Rav Yochanan views that. Now, if Rav Yochanan is saying that, what is he saying? He's basically saying, I don't subscribe to Breira. Because if I did, that would mean that the portion that I received retroactively is a portion that was due to me at the death of Dad. The fact that he doesn't say that means that he doesn't subscribe to Breira. So the Gemara says, so you see clearly Rav Yochanan does not subscribe to Breira. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we could suggest the following. Yerusha is a din d'araisa. Yerusha doesn't subscribe to Breira. But maybe if it were just a din d'rabbanan, maybe he'd be more lenient. Maybe he would subscribe to Breira. So the Gemara says, but that's not true. The Gemara quotes a braisa by a Tana by the name of Eo. I'm not sure about that. Eo may not be a Tana. But, okay. But either way, Rabbi Yehuda Omer in Adam Masna Shnei Dvarim Kechad, Ela in Ba Chacham LaMizrach, Eruva LaMizrach, LaMarav, Eruvo LaMarav. So, Rabbi Yehuda says that a person cannot make a condition at two things simultaneously. But rather, if the Chacham is coming from the east, his Eruv would be to the east. If the Chacham is coming to the west, the Eruv would be from the west. Meaning, the scenario over here is Rashi spells it out. We have Shabbos, and we have a Chacham, and he's coming not into town, but right next to town. Okay, I'm not exactly sure what the construct of the city is, but whatever the case is, he's coming right next to town. And the only way that I can get to the Chacham is by extending my Tchum. So that means going into Shabbos, before Shabbos, I'll set up an Erev Tchum to extend my Tchum. But I'm only missing one important piece of information. I know he's coming, I just don't know which direction he's coming. He's either coming to the east or he's coming to the west. So what I'll do is, I'll set up two Erev Tchums. One to the east and one to the west. And if he comes to the east, great. If he comes to the west, great. Now, we know that going to Shabbos, you can only have one Makum Shvisa. The Ilu, now the Gemara over here makes the obvious point. The Ilu, Kan Lakan Lo. Now, obviously, it's not going to work in both directions. Vahavina Ba, Maishna Lakan Lakan Delo, De'ain Breira. So the Gemara says, now it doesn't work in either direction because we don't subscribe to Breira. Mizrach Umarav Nami Ain Breira. So the Gemara says, but I don't understand. Even in the Breisa given to us by Eo, so we still have a choice to make, and I only and the Chacham comes on Shabbos, and I only learn about this on Shabbos, and so therefore the Tchum that I want to be effective is only affected on Shabbos using the principle of Breira, the Ein Breira, Mizrach Marv Nami Ein Breira. And meanwhile, we're not holding a Breira. So the Gemara says, Vam Rav Yochanan Kvar Pachacham. And Rav Yochanan says, you know how you understand that Breisa? It's very simple. The way to understand that Breisa is, I did set up two Erev Tchums. True. But we're not subscribing to Breira. Why not? Because the Breisa is talking about a very specific scenario where the Chacham came before Shabbos. I know the Chacham is already in place before Shabbos. I simply don't know where he is. I'll set up two Erev Tchums, one to the east and one to the west. And I'll learn on Shabbos which direction he comes. But as Rashi says, I'm quoting the language of Rashi, that's Gilui Milsa. That's not Breira. I'm not making a decision, a determination on Shabbos, which goes retroactively back to the Bein HaShemashos period. I'm just, it happened. It occurred. And all I'm doing right now is just simply learning the results on Shabbos. That's not Breira.
So the Chacham's entry is the...
Correct, correct. And he in other words, he knows the Chacham's coming, and he sets up the Tchum so that it would work, and it does work. I'm just learning about it on Shabbos. That's not Breira.
So at Ben HaShemashah, when the Chacham makes his entry, does this guy find out right there and then, or...
No, even... Now the point... He'll find out later.
But the thing is, by the guy's entry, he established that...
Correct. Absolutely correct. So good. So the Gemara says, so now what do you see? Rav Yochanan doesn't hold the Breira. He doesn't hold it by a Daraisa level. We saw that in the case of Yerusha. He doesn't hold it by a Durabana level. We just saw it right now in the case of the Tchum and the Chacham coming into the town. So now the Gemara says, our attempt to switch around the positions of Rav Oshia and Rav Yochanan, where Rav Yochanan holds the Breira and Rav Oshia does not hold the Breira, the Gemara says that's untenable because we have just seen Rav Yochanan not holding on Breira on a Daraisa level, on a Durabana level. Okay, we are, as they say, stuck. So the Gemara says, "Am aleis le Rav Yochanan Breira, ela laolam ran lamed ches amad aleph." We're four lines down. Ela laolam lo tepoch v'chi, ela laolam lo tepoch. Don't switch it around. We were right the first time. Right? They say in all these assessment tests, go with your first choice. So that we were right the first time. Rav Yochanan doesn't hold the Breira. Rav Oshia does hold the Breira. So the chileis for the Rav Oshia Breira b'daraisa v'b'drabanan islay. So the Gemara says, well, okay, and the distinction we made actually is a good distinction between daraisa and drabanan, but not for Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan simply does not hold the Breira. Period. What about Rav Oshia? Rav Oshia holds the Breira on a daraisa level. Sorry, Rav Oshia doesn't hold the Breira on a daraisa level, and he does hold the Breira on a drabanan level. Okay, and there is a. There's a very interesting Rashi over here. In other words, where does Rav Oshia hold the Breira? On a Darabana level like Tchum. Where does he not hold the Breira? On a Daraisa level. What was the example that we gave earlier? The mace, the Ola mace. Now the Ola mace, what was more specifically, what were we talking about? Tuma Sofo Latzes. The idea where there's multiple exits, and we make a verbal designation, we're going to go out that door. Once we do that, so then, not only from this point, but even retroactive to the point of death, it's that door that we're going at. That's the idea of Tuma Sofa Latzes. Just give me one moment. Let me make one specific point. If you take a look at Rashi over here, the Rashi Dibra Amaskal B'Daraisa. Rashi's halfway down on the page. Rashi says, Kagon, Tumas Meis, Leisle Breira. V'derech Yitziasa, and the exit strategy, meaning where there are multiple exits and we decide to go out one, Halacha l'moshe misinai. Meaning the idea that Tumas Mace is metame, that when I have a human remains in this room, and the entire room under this roof is going to be tame, that's not Halacha l'moshe misinai. That's a pasuk in Chumash. But the idea that we're going to choose one doorway that we're going to go out, and the area under the doorway is going to be tame, and all the other doorways are going to be tahor, that's viewed as a separate roof, but because we're going out that doorway, so that's Tumah, Rashi over here writes, that's a din d'araisa. Now don't blame Rashi for saying that, because that's essentially what the Gemara's point was over here. That Rav Oshia doesn't subscribe to Breira on a d'araisa level, meaning like this case over here, so Rashi says that Sofa Tumah Latzes is a din d'araisa. The problem with that is that if you go back to the exact same discussion, the Gemara had it back on Daf Yud, where the Gemara brings down the same Mishnah and Olos, and Rashi over there comments on Sofa Tomalatzes. So Rashi over there says that Sofa Tomalatzes is not a din de Araisa, but rather it's a din de Rabbanan. You can see it all the way back on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, second wide line on the Amud. So Rashi says, "Va'afa pishenu tachas agag amal alameis shegazru chachamim tuma amakam shehu derech yitzias atuma shesofo latzeis derech sham." So the Rashi over there writes very specifically that the chachamim were goes there. So there's obviously a disagreement within Rashi, a steer within Rashi. So tuma sofo latzeis, is that a din d'araisa? On Daf Lamed Ches he says yes, and on Daf Yud he says it's a din d'rabbanan. Okay, so obviously presents a problem. And I'm not the one, like much like Columbus didn't discover America. So okay, whatever. They told us otherwise. So I'm not the first one who made this point. Yeah.
My question is: aren't there people who consider Tichon to be Midoraita?
No. Now there is a discussion. There is a discussion about 12,000 amas. Whether that's a daraisa, that's a debate amongst the Rishonim, Rambam and Ramban, if I remember correctly.
Rabbi Akiva.
But there is a shita. Okay, thank you. There is a shita, Rabbi Akiva. But that, in that regard, we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva. You're right. But that his position, interestingly enough, is totally rejected. Okay.
In the case of Yerusha, right?
Yeah.
When the person does not hold by Brera, how can you barter with property you don't own yet?
But you don't own property, but you own shares. In other words, you're entitled 50%, as the two brothers.
But that's Yerusha.
Okay, good. But in other words, the way that Yerusha works is that there's an estate. So
father did not specify, you get this and you get this.
Right.
It's just an estate.
Right, it's an estate.
And they divide themselves.
And then they're dividing the estate. Okay, we're just in, and you know, in other words, that right now all I have are rights to 50% of it, and which 50%? So now we're going to barter with one another. And that's why it's a purchase. That's why it's viewed as lekuchos. Okay. Yeah.
The Tuma issue is a Moshe Messina.
Right.
And a Moshe Messina is the same as a Derisa.
That's from our Gemara, that's the way the Gemara is presenting it.
What we generally hold that, it's in a middle ground between
Rabbanan and Rabbanan. Generally speaking, we view it as a Da'araisa. There may be certain leniencies by Halacha Moshe Mitzinai over that which is something explicitly written in the Torah. But in other words, there's no, right, generally speaking, there's no punishment for Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, generally. But in terms of levels, we usually start it with Da'araisa. Look, the simple Pshat in the Gemara is that it's Da'araisa. Okay.
On the cow with the Mishnah, why can't I say that since part of my nature is for your cow, that's mine, so I can say with the Tehom, it's mine too, that I'm not...
Well, that's what the Gemara wanted to argue.
I'm not thinking, well, since it's mine too, since the nuisance is mine.
Let's discuss it after. The Gemara was bothered by that very issue. All right, Darsh Marzutra Halacha Rabbi Yoshia. Okay, good. The Gemara comes to a sound conclusion over here, and that is the Halacha falls like Rabbi Yoshia. So the Halacha falls like Rabbi Yoshia. Now, the Gemara is talking now in terms of Brera, or the Gemara is just talking simply in terms of our particular discussion of the Chavis and the Behemoth. It sounds like it's talking about in the general scheme of Brera, meaning that as the Gemara just concluded, Rabbi Yoshia does not hold a brera on din d'araisa. The Rav Oshia holds a brera on din d'rabbanan, and then ostensibly that's the Gemara says, and that's the conclusion. Meaning that, right? And generally speaking, this is what we say. Right? You'll find the Gemara say this a couple of times, that on a din d'araisa, we don't hold the brera. On a din d'rabbanan, we do hold the brera. Okay, Amar Shmuel. Okay, and now we make, the Gemara quotes a statement by Shmuel. Shur shel patam. Patam, the fattener, the animal fattener. Okay, can we say it just a little bit simpler? He sells animals for a living, meaning that he's a mocher. He's a merchant, and obviously he wants to make the animals as large as possible. That's why he's called the patam. He's a fattener of the animal because, right, the weak, skinny animals, they don't do well in the market. So that's why he's referred to as a patam. Harei karagle kol adam. Now, going into Yontif. Now, the sale he's going to make is on Yontif itself. We talked about this time and again. That on Yontif, you can make a transaction of animals, right? Ochel nefesh, right? That you could do that. And the, obviously, the money will get exchanged after Yontif. Okay. But the whose tchum does it belong to? Answer, very clear. Shmuel says, it belongs to the purchaser, even though he purchased it on Yontif itself. Sure shall roa harei karagle osoayir. Now, if I have a shepherd of a city, and he is the shepherd of the city, so harei karagle osoayir. So, and the shepherd also does a little bit of commercial activity, but not as extensively as a patam. The patam, look, the store is open. Anyone who comes in is going to buy. So the person who buys, it follows the purchaser's tchum. But when it comes to the shepherd, it's he dabbles in commercial activity only for the members of the city is he expected to sell it to. Okay. And here we get to discuss now a fascinating issue. I told you earlier this morning, store the following piece of information. Shmuel does not hold the Breira. All right, the Gemara said that in the beginning of today's shir. Okay, on the middle of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. And now the Gemara says that when the merchant makes a sale on Yontif, where he sells an animal on Yontif, whose tchum does it follow? It follow the buyer's tchum, where he could take it now wherever he can walk. And so now let's ask a pretty simple question. Wait a second. Shmuel doesn't hold the Breira. If Shmuel doesn't hold the Breira, so then we don't view the transaction retroactive to the Bein HaShemashos period. We view the transaction only from this point going forward. If we view the transaction only from this point going forward, who was the owner of this animal going into Yontif? Right, the seller. The seller was the owner of the animal going forward. And so now, how can Shmuel say that when you purchase the animal on Yontif, it's going to follow the buyer's tchum? That's a problem. The Gemara doesn't raise this problem. It's the Rishonim are very troubled by this. It could be that there is no simple and elegant solution. It could, but it's hard to imagine. Now, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi doesn't address the problem straight on. Rashi writes, "Harei in karagle kol adam afilu ben ira cher shabalakan aide eruv molicholim komo." Dekevan, here's the key words in Rashi. Dekevan de orche lizvunu ne me esmol ukme berushuse demanda asila machar vizavenle. Rashi says, let's go into the mindset of the seller. Going into Yontif, the seller wants to get rid of it. That's his intent going into Yontif. So what Rashi over here is suggesting, again, he's not formally asking the question like I am. But in other words, but we know Shmuel doesn't hold the Breira. The Gemara told us that earlier. So what you're going to have to say is the following. That going into the mindset of the seller on Erev Yontif during the Bein HaShemashos period, I don't want it. In fact, I want someone else to have it. So basically, he's making a transfer during that Bein HaShemashos period. Even though, this is where it gets interesting, even though he can't positively identify who the recipient is going to be, nevertheless, he's basically saying during the Bein HaShemashos, I'm going to make a sale. It's wishful thinking, but it's good. That's his job. I'm going to make a sale, and whoever I'm selling it to, it's going to belong to him. And obviously it gets interesting because even if you don't hold the Breira, still that mindset would allow us to say that the purchaser on Yontif will be able to argue that it's his. It was his during the Bein HaShemashos, and therefore...
Is that still prayer or is
it? Right, correct. I'm struggling to articulate what that is.
It's completing the sale on Yontif.
Right, but in other words, right, the initiation of the sale occurred during... Right. Right. Right, I was thinking that also. It's funny, I didn't say... That word was in my mind, I didn't say it. Right, he writes that over there in the notes.
If something is hefker, though, the question is, who does it belong to? Does it belong?
Right. The hefker terminology over here seems to be challenging.
Whoever takes it gets approved.
Right.
But who does this?
I understand. If he doesn't sell it on Yontif,
where is the tchum for that?
Okay. All right. look, it's an interesting topic. It deserves a lot of attention. We have to go on, but certainly an interesting topic. Hashoa kli mechavero me erev yontif. Okay, borrowing. Our Mishnah told us the rules of borrowing are very simple. Okay, the lender obviously is the owner of an item, right? That's why he's lending, because it's his. So if the lending occurs before yontif, so then the borrower says, okay, it's mine. Meaning, obviously, he doesn't own it, but all liability, all responsibility falls squarely on his shoulders. So that means that during the Beit HaShemeshes period, he can go wherever the item can go wherever he can go. If, however, the lending occurs on Yantiv itself, it subscribes to the tchum of the lender. That's what the Mishnah told us. It's a pretty obvious point. In fact, it's so obvious that Gemara says that's obvious. Meaning the point of Mishnah is not to tell us things which are so obvious. The Mishnah always goes at the is edgy. Right? You understand what I mean by that? Meaning that the Mishnah is not there to tell us things that we could have figured out on our own. The Mishnah is always telling us things which are chidushim. What's a chiddush here? So pshita lo tzrichish lo masur lo ela biyantov. So the Gemara says, well, we agreed to the lending before yantov, but I only handed it to a man yantov. So Gemara says, oh, good, that's a chiddush. So mao detema la birshusei ukmei. So the Gemara says, okay, even though we agreed to terms, but still, the lender's holding it, physically holding it, so you can make the argument that it should follow the tchum of the lender. No. So the Gemara says, Kamash Milan, that's the chiddush. That's the chiddush. That even though the actual item was not transferred before Yontif, but because we agreed to it before Yontif, so therefore we could view it as part of the possession of the borrower.
The borrower would be responsible if something happened?
Right. That's a good question. I don't know. I hear you. I don't know. Misael Rav Yochanan. So the Amr of Yochanan Hashol Kli Mechaver Meirav Yomtov Afapish Lo Nasnu Lo Ella Biyomtov Harei Ukaragle Hashol. Okay, so the Gemara says it's Karagle Hashol. Okay, that's a chiddush we said in the Mishnah. Rav Yochanan says it straight out. Next, Biyomtov Karagle Hamashol. Now, if the lending occurs on Yontif itself, so I go to my neighbor on Yontif and say, "Look, my knife, no good. Can I borrow your knife?" Sure. So if the lending occurs on Yontif itself, it follows the tchum of the lender, not the borrower. And again, the Gemara says, Pshita, that seems to be obvious. So the Gemara says, well, we can inject a little bit of a chiddush over here. Let's say the particular case in question is where every yontif, knock on the door. Can I borrow your knife? Yes, sure, no problem at all. You know where it is. So now, basically, like Pavlovian dogs, so you're expecting the knock on the door. So now, going into yontif, right, you say, oh, you know that knife? Oh, you know what's going to happen. Sugarman's going to come knocking on the door. He's going to come borrow it. Okay, so now, maybe with that built-in expectation that I will come and borrow it, so maybe we could say it's like mine. You know, in other words, it's like a typical Jew, like with the chutzpah of, hey, can I have my knife? What do you mean your knife? It's mine. You know, the one I borrow all the time. So mao detema birushos ekamokim le kamash malan meimar amar dema mishka chinesh achrine ve'az v'shal minei. So the Gemara says, look, even though he's a regular, but still doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to go to him. It could be that someone else is going to borrow it. Okay. V'chein ha'isha. Yeah, I do hear you. I hear you. It's a fair point. V'chein ha'isha sheshaala michaverta. And then the Gemara now is going to deal with this last case in the Mishnah. Okay, we have two women and they're lending to one another. What did the Mishnah say? V'chein ha'isha sheshaala michaverta tavlin umayin umelach li'isaso hareu karag li'shtehem. It is this challah was a joint venture. The wheat was provided by one woman, the water, the spices, the salt was provided by another woman, and so now the challah, the synthesis of the two, the combination of the two, so what do you have? You have now a challah made by two people who each one contributed their ingredients to it, and therefore the challah cannot go any further than the common ground of the two. Good. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. Okay. The question that we're going to ask is going to take us through the rest of today's daf. We're not going to finish today's daf, But let's start with the question. Ki salak Rabbi Abba, fascinating introduction to a topic. Rabbi Abba is going up to Eretz Yisrael. Presumably he's making aliyah. Rashi says, kasharat alalos. And now he's en route to Eretz Yisrael. He's about to meet up with the Amorim of Eretz Yisrael. He wants to make a first good impression, right? All of us do. It's we're hardwired that way. We meet somebody, we want to make a first good impression. Amar, so he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yehi Rava De'ema Milth Diskabel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me. Let me say something that will be accepted. Okay, now if you've seen enough Gemara, you know this is not going to go well. Meaning the Gemara is excellent. The Gemara is excellent at foreshadowing, and if he's praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'd like to say something that is accepted. It's not going to go well. And by the way, I mean just in terms of a little bit of Musa for today. All right, why isn't it going to go well? Well, you'll see why in just a moment. But the tefillah, and I hate being judgmental, but the tefillah is inappropriate because he doesn't want to say the right thing. He's not, in other words, over here, it's not that he's right. In other words, he doesn't want to say something which is honest and true and Torah and Emes. But over here is just tiskabel, meaning like I hope they like it. Okay, they like it. They don't like it. I mean, that's irrelevant. Meaning when you're learning Torah, right? Correct. In other words, when you're learning Torah, you want to just arrive at the truth, right? Regardless of whether it's liked, it's well received, right? How was the shiur? Oh, it's very good. Okay, very good is nice, but is it right? Is it the intellectual honesty? So anyway, so Yehi Rava Dema Mos Tiskaba Kisalak Ashkechel Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi Rav Zeir Rav Amrila Rabbi Abba Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi Rav Yitzchak Nafcha VeYasvi the Kamrei. Okay, so there, so you have a group of Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael, various versions of who they were, but anyway, they were learning our Mishnah. Obviously, that's why the story is here. Amai. And they're bothered by a very simple question. Okay, maim, melach, the water, the salt, it is a small portion of the challah. The challah is primarily flour. Water and salt are obviously important, but not the majority. And so why don't we just simply argue bittul? That's the question. That's the question that will take us for the remainder of today's daf. Actually goes into tomorrow's daf. Let's start off with the answer provided by Rabbi Abba. The one who, not yet, just give me a moment. The one who prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me say the right thing. So Amalu Rabbi Abba, so Rabbi Abba now offers his first suggestion on this discussion. Let's say one kav of your wheat gets mixed up. Let's say the wheat's ground up. Let's say a kav of your wheat is mixed up with 10 kav in your friend's wheat. Yochel hala vechadei. So now your friend has now 11 kabin, one of them not belonging to him. Now he's going to be. Is he going to eat all that and be happy? Meaning, is his conscience going to be okay? Because essentially, what he's doing is he's stealing. He's taking something that doesn't belong to him. There's no bittul when it comes to money. Meaning, I have a little bit of money, right? A quarter gets mixed in with five of your quarters. Okay, fine. Bittul. Nullification. I'm really sorry, right? No, your quarter, I know it got mixed in with mine, but there are more of my quarters than your quarter. Bittul. Look, I'm really sorry. No, when it comes to money, we don't say bittul. So Rabbi Abba's response is, we're talking about money. Water, salt, spices getting mixed in with flour. When it comes to Isser and Heter, we'll say bittul. Now when it comes to money, sounds like he hit it. Sounds like he hit it right in the head. So the Gemara says, Yochel hala v'chadei achichu alei. They laughed at him. Amaluhu golifso shakle. So he says, what, did I take your clothing? Meaning, what's so funny? Hadar achichu alei. And they continue to laugh at him. Okay. Now at this point in time, we'll stop. We're out of time. Tomorrow, we get to finish this discussion. It sounds like he really hit it on the head. Why did they laugh at him? Why did they say that that's not a good answer? In other words, his suggestion that there's no bittul by money sounds excellent. So we are going to continue the discussion tomorrow and see whether or not his answer is correct. And if his answer is not correct, so then the question remains. So why don't we say bittul?
The
Tosas raised your question. Okay, I'll show you after.